As we approach Purim, I'm going to talk about two concepts. One is costumes, another has to do with the carefulness with Mishloach Manos, and at the same time, a concern where there could be an issue with a Kiddushin that could come out from it, an unintended Kiddushin. Okay, so the first topic about costumes. So really, I would like to start really from a Gemara. The Gemara in Megillah, Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, tells us, and ask the question by Reb Shem Bar Yochai, why is it that the decree of Haman took place on the Jewish people? That they could have chas v'shalom happened what was intended to have happened? And the Gemara brings that maybe you'll say it's because they had benefit from that meal of that Rasha, referring to Achashverosh. The Gemara says you can't say that it actually means Achashverosh is. That would be the reason of the annihilation of chas v'shalom of all the Jewish people, because we find that only the people in Shushan should have been punished and not those of the whole world. So the Gemara says, okay, rather the reason is because they bowed down to Etzelim. That's the reason they bowed down to an idol, and due to that they would have been deserving, they were deserving of punishment. So the Gemara asks, if they were deserving of punishment bowing down to an idol, which was apparently an idol of Nebuchadnezzar, so then they should have really been actually, why did Hashem save us? So the Gemara says, no, they didn't really bow down with some intent. Either they appeared to bow down or something, they didn't mean it. In any case, they didn't really serve Avodah Zarah, but it looked like they did. And therefore Hashem, at the same time, same token, made as if he looked like he was going to punish them with such a harsh decree from Haman, but of course, at the end, it didn't happen. So there's a sefer from called Sifsei Chachamim, from an author, wrote it in Rav Avram Abba Herzl. It's published in around the year 1900. And he explains that this theme of, you know, looking one way and appearing another, we find also in the Gemara in Chulin, Daf Kuflamit Tesamid Beis, it says, Anechi Haster Aster, that Hashem says, I'm going to hide myself from them, and only, you know, appearing to hide himself, but not completely. And this is the idea of really what happened on Purim, that Hashem, you know, showed some, you know, form of a great punishment, but of course not really intended to go through with it. And this, in the Sefer Sifsei Chachamim, he explains, oh, this is the minig. This really evolved the concept of the minig to wear different costumes on Purim. And he brings, he quotes from the Ramah that says that man can wear woman's clothes, woman could wear man's clothes, right? Lechora, it's forbidden because, you know, it says in the Torah, you're not allowed to wear gever levishim l'sisha, v'isha kli gever, right? Those things are forbidden. The Ramah writes in Simen Tafrei Sadik Vav, in the end of the Simen over there, in Sif Ches, he says, Ein Isser, there's no prohibition bedavar, ma'achar she'ein mechavdin elu l'simcha balm. It's just a simcha balm, it's not any... Not any iser because of that, because no one's really intending seriously. However, many achronim already mentioned that maybe at some point, maybe it wasn't such a problem, but nowadays we do consider it a big issue. Meaning, to wear a costume is more or less fine because that was the custom and that was the whole idea of the hiddenness that Hashem had acted with us on Purim. So we wear costumes to cover over and to hide our appearances. But to wear inappropriate costumes, that's not acceptable anymore. The Bach, right, brings in the Mishnah Berurah, quotes from the Bach, and says that we should mevatel the minig of a woman wearing men's clothes, or the opposite. And the Shalah even goes on to say, Shemer nafshe yarchek min levushim, the kalayim, some people they buy clothes. They don't know that there could be a problem of kalayim of wool and linen mixture. So we have to be very careful on what types of costumes we buy. At the same token, it's very important that costumes should be appropriate. There should never be any problem with sneas issues. There shouldn't be any problem with overall inappropriate things. We don't want to emulate the ways of the goyim. That is never too good that we that it's never a good thing that we emulate, you know, in the ways of the Goyim. So on Purim, it's not to something that it should be allowed either. In other words, the costume should be in an appropriate fashion. Okay, we're going to now talk about the second topic, which is an interesting discussion, which has to do with Shalach Manis, but it, of course, also touches upon the concept of Kiddushin, of marriage. So we mentioned with the Ramah that a person, they say, could get to special costumes. So the Ramah in the Siman beforehand, Simin Tafresh Tzadik Hey, he brings down, at the very end of that Simin as well, and this is off of Sif Dalet, it brings down, with regard to sending Shalach Manos, Isha Tishlach Li Isha V'Ishlish, says a woman should send to a woman her Shalach Manos. A man should send to a man. At the end of the day, there's only one, the Shalach Manos is only one person you have a mitzvah to do. Everything else you want to do is extra and above. But anyways, that the mitzvah, but when you do Mishalach Manos, it should be man should give to a man, woman should give to a woman, and not to woman give to a man or the like, or a man to a woman. And it says Shalo Yavoy, because if you do that way, in other words, if a man would give to a woman or Shalach Manos, Shalo Yavoy Ish Lishalach La'aman or Yavoy Lidi Safek Kiddushin. We don't want that there should be that the man is going to send, a man will send Shalach Manos to a woman. And it could come from it a suffic kiddushin. It could come out a doubtful marriage. So the Mefarshim explains. So first of all, the wording of the Ramah is that you shouldn't send to an almana, which is a widow. Mefarshim explained that it's not only a widow that a man shouldn't send to, really any non-married woman, because just like she can only get married if she's not currently married, so it could happen to a grusha, a divorcee, it could happen to a non-married woman, whatever. That's just the example that it brings down. Now, the Ramah says that for Matanis Lav Yonin, which is the special money that we give to poor people on Purim, so that's fine. Man could give to a woman, or woman could give to a man. For people who are, you know, Matanis Lav Yonin, they're poor, we don't look at it as Kiddushin. So let's talk about this for now. What is this concept that if you're going to send Shalach Manos to a non-married woman, it could be considered as the wording of the Ramah, a concern, where concern maybe could be a suffic kiddushin, a doubtful marriage. How could that be? So, let's explain. What is the reason of why it is suffic, that could be a doubtful kiddushin? People will say that the Shalach Manos is a sivlonis, it's a wedding gift. This is how the Mishnah Berurah explains it, and the Kaf HaChaim and others, they explain it, that really, they're not going to say that the Shalach Manos was necessarily a Kiddushin. Let me explain. In order for there to be a Kiddushin, one of the methods that the Talmud in Kiddushin explains is that a man, if he gives something of a value of, according to the view of Beis Hillel, we just have to give a pruta. You just have to give a value of a pruta or shava pruta. Very short, very small amount of money. The current value of a pruta is generally 1/40th of a gram of silver, of pure silver. 1/40th of 1 gram. So according to, you look at the value of the silver, and it's, you know, currently in the year 2024, Tafshin Pei Dalet, maybe 1 gram is around 82 cents, something like that. We're talking about 1/40th of that. So it's a very small amount of value. Now, there is other opinions who explain that the value of the pruta has gone down from what it used to be. In other words, food used to cost less money. I'm not talking about in recent years. I'm talking already like after the Talmudic times, we find that the food became much more expensive already from a long, long time ago. Someone who say that the value of the pruta needs to be higher because you can't buy food with such a small amount of money. Any case, even if it's going to be a little higher, according to the more stringent opinions like the Smen, Chosh, and Mishpat, it's still not going to be even a much more. It'll still be relatively a small amount of money. So if you give something where it's money for, or you give some food or whatever it is of something significant, So what? So in theory, if he said you'll marry me with this item, I'm giving you this money or this item, and the woman agrees, and she's not currently married. In theory, the kiddushin will be an effective kiddushin. Now, so the Mefarshim explained here in this din over here by the Purim, that people will say that Mishalch Manis is some sort of wedding gift that followed a regular kiddushin which had probably taken place previously. And they'll assume that there was two witnesses, and this is the follow-up gift because there was a custom to give gifts right after the kiddushin. So that's what people are going to come along, and she's going to have the title that people will think that she's married. Now, the truth is that this is a very chashash rachok mode. This is a very, very, we'll call it very, I don't want to say the word exaggerated, but it's a very far-ended form of concern because in theory, you know, if you don't have two witnesses and it wasn't with her accept and she didn't accept it with her will, we're not going to even be concerned at all. And I'll explain why we're really in practice, if someone gave him a Mishalch Manis, it's not going to really be a concern that she's married, but we will see that there can be some issues of her. Now, the Aruch HaShulchan on this simon in Tafresh Sadik He, in Sif 18, he says as follows. He says, in general, it's not a good thing that there should be kirav adas, closeness between a man and woman, obviously if they're not, you know, married or to get married or something, and that sometimes there can be that this is a concern of kiddushin when she is not married. However, by Matan Sevyonim, there's no kirav adas. So in other words, the Aruch HaShulchan is not really saying, he's not so concerned that if there was a Shalach HaManas given over, as long as it wasn't in the form of a kiddushin with in front of two witnesses, and he says, you will marry me with this Shalach HaManas or something, you know, okay, it's not going to really be any kiddushin, but it why should there be such a kirov adas, closeness? It's not a good thing. And under certain circumstances, it's possible it could be a kiddushin. So, for example, I'll give you an example when it could be a kiddushin. I more or less said, if a man said to someone, a non-married woman, he says, take this coin for poor money and be married to me with it. Yeah? Or he said, take this, you know, in theory, it could work with food, but it's people less likely use food as kiddushin in the understanding day. But certainly if he gave money and he said, you should be married me with it, or and certainly if he said with the food, take this items and you should be married to me with it, at the very least, it's going to be a difficult shaila to assume that it's not a kiddushin. I won't say for sure or not, but it's going to be a severe question. And this is actually explained. This is written by the Shari Tshuva and Simin that we mentioned, 695 in Sivkatin 9, in the name of the Birki Yosef, quoting the Mahari, that yes, if he used the wrong type of wording that he shouldn't say, it'll be a doubtful kiddushin. Now, you might say, well, what if, now, why are we mentioning this on Purim? Why are you mentioning this in the Ramah in by Mishalch Manas? So one explanation could be because people, you know, want to fulfill this mitzvah of Chayiv Inish Lipsume Bipurya. People want to be a little tipsy to drink on Purim to not know the difference of Aruch Haman and Baruch Mordechai. So it could be that this lightheadedness behavior can also lead to unnecessary actions, which could later on be something people will really regret. There's been cases where stories that people say about someone proposed a wedding, they proposed a kiddushin, and they didn't really mean it. They offered an item or whatever as a mock type of kiddushin in front of witnesses, and we have to take the question very serious that maybe that's a kiddushin that that might be a real marriage. And they'd have to get a get if they don't want to, you know, get a real marriage afterwards, a second one to a certain one. So there's been many questions that come up in the Beis Din. In Israel, there's a lot of tshuvas they wrote on it in the Batei Din there. So we'll go through. So some of the questions that generally come up are where, like something like this, where there's a mock kiddushin. I'll quote from the Ramah in Simin Membis. The Ramah writes, first of all, you need the will of the woman in order to be mikudeshes. She has to agree to it. she can't be Mekudeshes Baal Karcha. But on the other hand, the Ramah in Simen Mem Beis Sifalaf brings down Ve'en Holchin Be'inyan Kiddushin Acher Umdenas Vochachos Hamochichos Shalok Kivnu L'Shem Kiddushin. The Ramah is quoting from the Gos Mordechi and the Chuvas Maram, that he says that we are not able to judge Kiddushin based upon that if it looks like a Kiddushin and then they say, we didn't mean it, he says he didn't mean it, she didn't mean it. We can't judge things based on that. We have to go by what we see. So the Ramah starts off and he says, she says, Mekadesh me. So he throws her a Kiddushin. She receives it. And then he says, you are Mekudeshes li with this item he threw to her. Then she shakes it off of her, to throw it down or something right away. Okay. And she says that she didn't have Kavana, only as a Sechok, Ba'alma, just as a joke. Afilu hachi havi kedut mekudeshes. The Ramah rules, and then that's in the name of the Chuvas Maram, that no, she's considered mekudeshes. And then the Ramah brings, and we don't go after umdenas, we don't go after assumptions to say, this is, although it looked like a kedushin, this is what it really means. And she would be married. So now, the truth is that this is a topic I'm not going to, enough into to really go through it thoroughly, properly, but we'll say that there are those who bring down that it is possible there could be differences of different types of umdenus. In other words, sometimes it might be, seems that it wasn't serious, but out of doubt, maybe we treat it stringently. But there can be a case or two where it was clear that there's no way possible that it wasn't an absolute joke. Would that mean that that's not a kiddushin? Okay, that's up to the case that it would have to appear before Beit Din. Any case, I will just try to finish off here with regard to giving a ring or an item or something like that and connecting with Purim. So generally, when a person gives a gift or something to a woman, again, if we should be concerned that that could be a kedushin. However, in the Ebenezer Simen Mem Hey, Simen 45, the beginning of the Simen there, it goes in and spells out cases where we can be lenient. So where we're not going to be concerned. So number one, if a person sent a gift to her, so we said that's what we were concerned with Shalach Manas, that people think the Shalach Manas is Sivlonis. It's like some sort of wedding gift. But when do we say that? That's only when they had some sort of a Shiduchim already. They had some sort of a assumption that they are planning to get married. Another thing is that if a person gives a gift and says, this is a gift, or he says, this is for Shalach Manas, so there's no way we'll consider that as a Kiddushin. It's only if he specified it's for Kiddushin. If he says this is for this reason or for that reason, it's not for Kiddushin reason, we won't say they're married. Also, only if witnesses actually observed it. So, generally speaking, you need two witnesses. There is an opinion that says one witness would be enough, but that's only lichat chilo. We say that or stringently, but generally you need two kosher witnesses. And there are some opinions, like the Avni Miluyim and Sivkat and Gimel and Dod in Simon 45 in Ebenezer, who explained that nowadays the assumption is that people don't mekadesh a woman with foods. It can only be with regular items like jewelry or something. So therefore, if you give just food, it's not really going to be considered a kiddushin. And there's also a special takana, and this is brought down in the Chuvas of Rabbi Yoim and others, that there's a cherem, you can't mekadesh someone unless you have a minion, and it's under a chuppah and all those things. In other words, if you try to do a kiddushin, like in the field or something, and you take two witnesses, you're going against the cherem of the kadmonim, of the early sages, and therefore we'll say that the kiddushin should be batel, just because the rabbis have the right to uproot it. And so that might help b'di'evid post facto in a case where there was some sort of question is if the kiddushin was effective when it was just some impromptu type of kiddushin. But what we see from here is, as the Ramah brought down, don't give shalach manas to opposite, a man shouldn't give to a woman, also a woman shouldn't give to men. Aruch HaShulchan, as we said, explains it's just not in the way of tznius. And we brought that there, under certain circumstances, there could be a chashash kiddushin, if it would be, you know, like a real, something where it looks like, where maybe even if they were joking about it, but they didn't, certainly if there were witnesses there, and they were joking, that's a serious shaila, and this should be, of course, for those reasons avoided, not just on Purim, but all year round. And this question also can come up because sometimes when people call a shidduch, or, you know, they call it being engaged. Now, the truth is engagement is not really an accurate term, because engagement is, in Hebrew, erusin is actually means they're married. And people, when they decide to get married, it's not really a real marriage. So also the poskim talk about the importance of being careful not to make a proposal in front of witnesses or something and hand an item of value, like a ring or something, because of, even if it will or will not be considered kedushin, you know, could go through that another time, but it's obviously something that needs to be avoided because of the concern. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe writes, and this is printed in Lukotei Sichos, volume 19, page 510. He says, it's self-understood for many reasons, again, my translation to it, that it is proper, to my view, that the gifts of the kala before the kedushin should not be a ring. In other words, that the chassan shouldn't give the kala a ring. And some people have the custom that they give a gift through the parents of the chassan or so. But anyways, there shouldn't be a ring, not before the wedding, because of those concerns of sivlonis or safek kedushin, or how it was given in front of two witnesses.